Welcome to an enlightening podcast from IslamPodcasts.com. We encourage our listeners to please comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please remind your family and friends to also visit IslamPodcasts.com for engaging discussions on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran, tafsir, seerah, and much more. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com as well as rate, review of iTunes.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني
يفقهوا قولي full on the screen
go ahead. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We welcome you all for this education system session that we are going to discuss this evening about the social system of Islam. And to speak on this subject, we have a very qualified speaker and Muslim brother who has been in the societies of communism, mainly in Russia, and he has also been in this country, in the secular country, and capitalist country, like the United States of America, and he has immense knowledge, and he has studied about the various systems in Islam. We as Muslims, by conviction, by commitment, we feel that Islam is the complete way of life, complete code of conduct, and it's a perfect system. But unfortunately, by and large, our sphere of action is confined and focused to ibadat only. Namely, the Salat, the Song, the Zakat, the Hajj, and so on. Not to water down the importance of these Ibadat, but mind you, this is just 20% of Islam. The rest of the 80% of Islam, which is complete code of life, the perfect code of life, as guided in the Quran and with the Prophet's Uswa, we are either aware of it sporadically. And here and there we follow, especially in our countries where we come from, the so-called Muslim countries, but that has been diluted with more of a culture than Islam. And if we want to claim that we are the followers of Islam, and which we are, we have to really educate ourselves and our children and our family and our community as to what is the system of Islam is. The social system, the economic system, the political system, the moral system, the ethical system, and so on and so forth. So we have started this series of lectures on the systems of Islam, and the objective is to impart this knowledge on these various systems and sort of start a dialogue amongst us. And then we have to pave a way as to how we can establish this system, which is supposed to be the perfect system, into our lives. Without further ado, I would like to introduce my dear brother, scholar, Dr. Muhammad Malkawi, also known as Abu Talha. He has been giving tafsir at Masjid al-Fada every Saturday almost. And we are very, very fortunate. Believe me, scholars are the inheritors of prophets. After Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is not going to be any Nabi here. Our ulama are the warsa of Prophet. You probably will be contemplating and visualizing that is he an Alim? Yes, brothers, he has spent a lot of his time, a lot of his efforts, his day and night, is not only contemplation of getting the Islamic knowledge from Quran and Sunnah, but also articulating it into the modern terminology. He is a speaker at NPR, National Public Radio, and various university campuses. His book is available that he wrote recently about Islam versus capitalism, the rise of Islam and the fall of capitalism. A marvelous book that every one of us should read and contemplate on. This is not the time for empty slogans. Islam is the best, East or the West, Islam is the best. We have to prove it. And we have to live it more than proving it. And this is our opportunity, brothers and sisters, to learn from a speaker, from a scholar who has the experience of all the systems available in the world. Not only he lived there, in Russia he was there, in America he's been here, in Arab world he is born in Jordan, and he has lived there, and he stayed there. Then he went to Russia at a very young age. Then he came to this country, and then he is also an international speaker. And this is my honor and privilege to introduce to you and to present to you Dr. Malkawi. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم والحمد لله رب العالمين حمد الشاكرين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي جزاك الله خير brother مظهر حسيني I think you spoke more on myself more than I deserve. May Allah Azza wa Jal enable me at least to stand up and to live up to some of the comments that you made. Without too much introduction here, This is the second series of the talk on the Islamic, on the social system in Islam. A few months ago, I think back in February, we had this talk on the Islamic social system, and we called that part one because there I focused a lot on the current social systems in the world without Islam. What happens in the social system of people when Islam is not the ruling power? When Islam is not in charge, what happens? So we talked a lot about that chaos. So today, inshallah, or tonight, I will try to focus as much as possible on the Islamic solution. How does Islam solve or approach this whole issue of the social system? And I would like to begin with an ayah from Surah An-Nisa, where Allah Azza wa Jalla says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. I will be translating and talking about this ayah quite often in during this talk, so I'm not going to do the translation right now. In the beginning, all I want to say is that this is the beginning of Surah An-Nisa, which is a whole surah in the Quran devoted to the issue of women, and in fact it's called the women. So that at least shows the emphasis and the importance of this issue of the social system, or the core, if you will, of a social system in Islam, which is the woman. And that will be part of my talk, inshallah. So today, tonight, I will do some introduction. I will talk about the essence of the social system. This is a repetition from what I talked about last time, just to refresh our minds and to put us back in the mood of what is it that we are talking about. Then, as I mentioned, there will be some part of the talk on how does Islam view women, because woman is the most important component of the social relations, which includes both men and women, but the perspective on women is very important. And I will go then into the details of the social system, what are the aspects of it, and how does Islam provide all of this issue, the so-called an integrated, if you will, system between men and women. And then if we have time, we'll have Q&A, inshallah. But before I go into the details, this is a slide that I used last time, but let's go over that one more time, just to keep reminding us what is it that we are talking about. This Islam that Brother Mazhar was talking about, it's a complete system, it's a comprehensive system. It is not something that only includes the ibadat. I have the ibadat here in green clouds. It's a system that begins with the aqidah. There is a foundation of this Islam, and this aqidah includes the belief in Allah Azza wa Jal being the creator, being the Lord, being the Rabb, being the God, be the one and only, in fact. And when I say a Rabb, means the one who legislates, the one who provides rules, the one who deserves the obedience from his servants, from the people. And then we have the messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal, and we know part of the aqidah is that Allah Azza wa Jal designates prophets and messengers who will carry his guidance, who will carry the rules and the regulations by Allah Azza wa Jal to his to the people. And part of this is the Quran, which where Allah Azza wa Jal designated the Quran, the book, the final and the last book, to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when I do not put the sunnah here, the sunnah is included in the issue which I call, which is in the messenger, because he carries the message, and the message has both the Quran and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, as the brother was mentioning, we do have ibadat, which we have just done our Maghrib. We'll do our Isha in a few minutes. We do our Ramadan, it's coming up in a couple of months. We do our Zakah, we do our Hajj. Those are things which we do on a regular basis. But more so, and in fact that reminds me, since I'm talking about this, of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he says, "Bunya al-Islamu ala khams." Islam was built upon five. And those five are those ones. Actually, the base upon which Islam is built is the belief in Allah Azza wa Jal and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the messenger. Shahadatu anna la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad al-Rasulullah, which is the aqidah. And the pillars, which are as-salah, as-sawm, as-zakah, and al-hajj. Those are the pillars, which we call them the ibadat. And the bina now, because the hadith says buniya, right? Buniya. So something has been built. Something is built upon. What is it that is built upon? The aqidah, upon la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, built upon as-salah, built upon as-zakah, upon al-hajj, and upon as-sawm. There is a structure. What is that structure? That structure is this here, which we call it the systems. And we call it the systems in the Quran and the Sunnah. They are ahkam, they are ayat, they are ahadith, but we collect them, we analyze them, we make out of them systems so that we can live with them or we can understand them. So there is the social system, which is the subject of tonight's talk. There is the economic system, which we talked about in one lecture here and in other place. Last week we had this talk on the economic system at the Northeastern Illinois University. Then there is the political system, which I think we have one of the series in this masjid. We will have one lecture on the political system. Then there is the legal system or the judicial system. We also have one of the lectures coming up here. I think the calendar or the dates are on the flyer that you saw for this lecture. And then we have some moral system or values. Those moral system, or I call it a system, it's not a system, but these are a collection of values that have to do with all the ahkam, with all the systems. Like for example, the economic system, when the economic system deals with the trade, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he talks about the trade, he talks at-tajir as-saduq. So when you are honest, honesty is a value that goes with the trade. And then تبسمك في وجه أخيك صدقة. When you smile while you are selling someone or buying from someone, that's a sadaqah. So all of these values, which we will talk, I think, about them in one of the sessions that we will have here, inshallah. So here tonight we will be talking about the social system in Islam, which it talks about the marriage, divorce, inheritance, parenthood, and so on. So that's the overall view when we talk about Islam. When we say Islam does, this is how we view Islam. Islam is aqidah, Islam it's ibadat, Islam it's systems, and then there is a component here in blue which I call it the state, and I think the brother was referring to some notion here. What do we have to do in order for our systems to be implemented? When we talk about the economic system, a system of justice, the political system, a system of justice, social system, a just social system, where is that? How can this be implemented? Who can guarantee that? Islam provided a method for that, called it the state, called it Darul Islam, called it Ad-Dawla, called it Darul Hijra. It had many names in the past, called it the Khilafa, which a name that the Abu Bakr radiallahu anh called it after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and continued to be called that way until 1924. So there is a mechanism, there is a method for implementing the systems. So those systems provide a framework, a law or regulation framework, if you will, or regulatory framework, but the state is the mechanism or the organ that is responsible for implementing these systems in their totality. There are part of the rules which can be implemented by individuals, by us as people, but the majority of the rules for the systems to provide their results, this blue thing here which sits in between the whole thing, it glues up our aqidah, our ibadat, our systems together and provides them as a model to the world that this is our Islam. Okay. Having said that, now going back to the essence of a social system, quite often when you talk about social system, people mistakenly talk about social system as being a system in a society. Well, a society is a place where people live and interact. A society, just like the society in America, society in Pakistan, society in Bangladesh, it's a place where people, humans, live and interact. There's interrelations between people. And those interrelations have their peculiarities. The social system, in particular, has to do with those relations that exist between men and women. And all the issues that rise up from a relation between men and women, that's what we, in a terminology, apply the social system to. Now, the economic system, When we talk economic system takes a place between men and women, women and women. So in general, humans as humans interact in economic situations or economic transactions, financial transactions, or even political transactions. So the issue, whenever the interactions between men and women take place and there are issues to be resolved, like marriage, like divorce, like inheritance, that is a special part of the system. All of them, all of the Islamic systems, they immense or they come out from the instincts that Allah Azza wa Jal created within us. So this is not out of the blue. We as people, we tend to interact with one another simply because Allah Azza wa Jal put in us certain instincts that force us to make transactions in order to satisfy them. For example, if I have to live, I need a shelter to live in. For me to live, to have a shelter, I need some money to build my house or to rent my house. For me to have money, I need to work. I have to exert labor or I have to make a trade. So those are transactions that I have to do so that at the end of the day, I live in a place. So that is to secure my instinct of survival, if you will. And then another instinct, which is the subject of the talk tonight, the instinct of the sustainability of the human race, what we call it, the instinct of the kind. I, as a human, I need to see not only my survival, but the survival of my race. I need to see my kids, my offsprings, my grandchildren, grandchildren, and so on. That's natural. We as people, we have that instinct that force us or push us in one way or another to interact with the counter sex, with the counter gender, so that we preserve our kind. So we live in this type of situation. So the essence of the social system in Islam comes from this instinct of humankind, where man-woman relationship come into play, and therefore you need a system. That's what we call a system. The system, when I say a system, it's a collection of rules meant to resolve one particular problem. So like the system, the engine in a car is a system. The transmission is a system. The whole car makeup is a system. The system, at the end of the day, it allows a vehicle to move. So there are all types of algorithms, all types of procedures, all types of designs which are in that car so that the car at the end of the day moves. This computer is a system. And there are all types of regulations, all types of algorithms, all types of laws that have been done here so that at the end of the day, we can have this presentation presented on the screen. It's a system. So the system, when I say the social system, these are collection of rules, collection of laws, collection of regulations that are meant or whose main objective is to organize this instinct of humankind that Allah Azza wa Jal created in us. So that this instinct does not go out of control, does not produce irregular results. So that's when we talk about a social system, we talk about a system that is a collection of rules and regulations which is meant to achieve a certain objective. And the objective in this case is to make this human, man or woman, live in an order as Allah Azza wa Jal wanted it to be. That is at the end, because we are Muslims, eventually that's the objective of the Islamic social system, is for people, men and women, to interact with themselves, between themselves, to make transactions among men and women and whatever the children or parenthood, according to the rules and laws of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the rules and Allah and laws of Allah Azza wa Jal, which are stated in the Quran and the Sunnah, which are directed at the relations between men and women, that is the social system in Islam. That's the essence of the social system in Islam. Now, at the corner, as a cornerstone or at the core of the social system, is always the perspective on women. Because what the people differ on, people in general, whether it's Muslims, non-Muslims, Hindus, Christians, Jews, usually the view of a woman, how do you view or your perspective on a woman, that has a major impact on the definition of the social system. And in the past, in my previous lecture when I was here, I talked how the Jahiliyyah, before Islam, they looked at the woman. They looked at the woman as a source of shame. So they buried the children, the women, the girls, when they are born, they buried them alive. And if someone has a baby born, he will be always upset and so in a bad mood, he wouldn't know what to do. He probably would take that daughter and put her in the soil. The view of a woman in the current world order, in the current world we live in, woman is a sexual object that people use for joy, for all types of sexuality. That's why you see all the advertisements, all commercials, they will include beautiful half-naked or naked women to advertise for products. So there are certain views. And I mentioned also in the medieval ages, during when the church was a little bit weak, there was a big debate on the issue of the woman, whether the woman has the soul of a human, or whether she has the soul of an animal, or whether she doesn't have a soul at all. There was all types of arguments. So at the cornerstone, or at the core of the social relations and the social system, is the view of woman. That's why I have these slides, how does Islam view woman? At the beginning, right from the very beginning, Allah Azza wa Jal made it clear that when Allah Azza wa Jal created the human, created us as people, He said, I created man or human, and then out of my own soul, I made him a human. وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي. Allah says, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ إِنِّي خَالِقٌ بَشَرًا مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ مِنْ حَمَإٍ مَسْنُونٍ فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ. So at the bottom, human as insan, Allah Azza wa Jal says, once I make this insan, and then I will breathe into him out of my own soul or ruh. Now, the ruh of Allah Azza wa Jal, what does that ruh? We don't know. We have no knowledge or clue of that, but at least it says something specific that Allah Azza wa Jal does for this human. And that does not only pertain to the man, it pertains for both, because Allah, He said in another ayah, He says, خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسِ وَاحِدَ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا. So He created us, the men and the women, from the same soul. مِن نَفْسِ وَاحِدَ. So all of us, we belong to the same soul. There is no question about that. So Islam has no ambiguity about this issue that woman is a human or not human. In fact, in the Allah Azza wa Jal chose this language, the Arabic language, to reveal His the Quran. And in this language, the woman, even the word, is not derivative of man. Like in English, man is the core, and then woman is a prefix. The same thing in the Russian language. I know Russian language. There is the core is the man, and then the woman is a prefix. And that implies linguistically, even the language, that people's perspective on woman as being derivative of the man. Allah Azza wa Jal makes it clear that both men and women are created from the same soul, and that soul Allah Azza wa Jal breathed from his own soul. That is, and there are many ayat on this. I'm not going over through all the ayat, but you can read, you can find that the Quran always referred to man and woman, or this insan, as being the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal from the same soul. More specific now, how Islam started bringing this issue of jahiliyyah, or of the old jahiliyyah, or the current jahiliyyah, where they look at woman as either minority, or as a source of shame, or something that you look down to. When Allah Azza wa Jal, in a very interesting ayah in the Quran, He wanted to draw example for the believers. Sometimes we say, give me an example, I need to follow, I need a big figure. They call them here idols, asnam. We don't call them idols. These are examples that Allah Azza wa Jal, He wants to draw, so that, oh, there is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, there is Umar radiallahu anhu, there is Khadija, there is Aisha, there is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Uswa, there is Ibrahim. But in this ayah, where He says, وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا امْرَأَةَ فِرْعَوْنَ. The example Allah drew for the believers, He wanted to draw an example for the believers. Whom did He find? Whom did He choose? He could have chosen Musa, He could have chosen Yusuf alayhi salam, He could have chosen all of these prophets. He said, Imra'ata Fir'aun, the wife of Fir'aun, a woman. Imra'ata Fir'aun, Allah Azza wa Jal draws her as an example for the believers, which means us. When Allah Azza wa Jal draws for me an example, a woman from the history, and says, this is your example if you want to be a man of truth, or a person of truth, a person of haqq, a person who follows the laws of Allah Azza wa Jal, the belief in Allah, you want to promote and to propagate Islam, you need an example to follow. Here is an example for you. The wife of Fir'aun, what did she do? It's not sometimes you bring these examples, oh, the woman can do nursing, the woman can cook, the woman can do. She stood up for Fir'aun. She stood up for the most tyrant person in the face of the earth ever, Fir'aun. إذ قالت رب ابن لي بيتا عندك في الجنة ونجني من فرعون وعمله ونجني من القوم الظالمين. She stood up and she said, oh Allah, I need you to build me a home in Jannah. I don't need the palaces of Fir'aun. I want you to save me from the oppression of Fir'aun and his people who are oppressive. And the second example, immediately, right in the same, in the next ayah, Allah draws another example. Maryam ibnat Imran. Maryam, the daughter of Imran. Allati ahsanat farjaha. The one who kept her farj, her private things absolutely protected. No one touched them whatsoever. Despite all the accusations that the Christians and the Jews have against Maryam, Allah Azza wa Jal says, this is an example of decency. It's an example for people of tahara, of purity, of cleanness. For men and women. لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. A woman. So that's a perspective that you cannot miss. Once we start talking about a social system right from the very beginning, Allah Azza wa Jal makes sure that everybody knows that this component of the social relation is absolutely protected, is absolutely with high value. No one can compromise that and no one can make any bargains on it. And the reason I'm bringing this is because we know that the fundamental difference between social systems begin right there. How do you view a woman? If you view a woman as a clean, a woman who can stand up for Fir'aun, a woman who has the soul of the Adam and Hawa, both have the same soul from Allah Azza wa Jal, then there is no way you are going to undermine or look at this woman as minority. And that really strikes me big time when someone like in the America here, they say, oh, woman minority. Minority, when she makes up more than 51% of the nation, then you still can call her minority. The only minority status a woman has is because they look down upon woman, because the issue of woman is not settled. And then therefore the whole social relation is messed up. So now, with that view, what is the Islamic social system? Continuing, starting from the very beginning, again, Allah Azza wa Jal says, yes, men and women, they live in a society and there are interactions. However, there are things which have nothing to do with me being a man or a woman. There are things in front of Allah Azza wa Jal, in front of the law, which is, and of course, the lawmaker, the first lawmaker is Allah Azza wa Jal. And then Allah Azza wa Jal designates Islam, and then the Islam have their judges and judicial systems. In front of the law, which is the law of Islam, both men and women are equal. There is no difference. In fact, I will go over this ayah where Allah Azza wa Jal describes all of these attributes and characteristics. Al-Muslimin wal-Muslimat, Mu'mineen Mu'minat, Qanitin Qanitat, صادقين صادقات صابرين صابرات خاشعين خاشعات. He keeps enumerating all of them for both male and female. The ones who believe in Allah Azza wa Jal, those who are Muslims, those who are making sabr, male or female, irrespective. أعد الله لهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما. Allah Azza wa Jal, He provides them with all the maghfirah and all the rewards that they deserve. There is no question about that. No ifs and buts. And when it comes to the rules, like in the Surah An-Nur, where it says, "Al-zaniyatu wal-zani, fajlidu kulla wahidin minhuma mi'ata jalda." If both commit zina, man or woman, then both, and he gives them both, the male and the female, deserve the same punishment. Al-sariqu wal-sariqa, thief, male or female, deserve the same punishment. And all of this in front of the law, Allah Azza wa Jal, He gave us that once it comes to the law, there is no distinction whatsoever. So the whole issue of minority, majority does not even rise. And there is another quite few ayat here. I'm not going to go about them all. I'll just go to the last one. وَمَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَأُولَئِكَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever makes the good deed, whether man or female, then they go to Jannah. Now, the first thing in the social relationship, because social relationship, I said man and woman, they get together, there are interactions. Then of course, from the marriage there is children. So there is the issue of parenthood. So parenthood means, which is part of this relationship, parenthood means mother and father who made children. So I am a child for my parents. I came as a result of a relation between my father and mother and every one of us here. So parenthood now, which sometimes people overlook or it's overshadowed by so many other things, but this issue of parenthood took in Islam this very, very high significance and importance, this emphasis, where Allah Azza wa Jalla, if you read the ayah, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ, Allah decreed that you worship none but Him, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, and you be absolutely perfectionist to your parents. None deserve this status to be next to the worship of Allah Azza wa Jalla. But the parents, none at all. You can obey a leader, أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم. You obey, you have to obey. But doesn't say إحسان for them. Here when Allah Azza wa Jal talks about, it is a decree from Allah. He ordered you to worship Him. أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ and وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Not only that. إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا. When one of them or both they become old, then what do? Throw them in the senior citizen homes. Go and visit them once a week or once a year or on Thanksgiving. No, that's not what Islam. And that's the issue, the beauty of Islam and this social system where it comes with this hierarchy coming from the parents. Once parents are old, you cannot even tell them off. Get off my shoulder. The other day, I couldn't help over listening over a conversation between two young boys who go to college here, and then I got in discussion with them, and they talk between themselves about their parents and about their friends. One of them is saying, see, my friend X and X John, when he goes home, he tells his mother all the F words. Then he says, I can't do that. The only thing I can tell her, get off my back. Then I got in the conversation with them, why do you tell your mother or father, get off my back? Didn't he bring you into this world first? Could you have been raised or go to college, all of this? I just using their language. They got a little bit ashamed, but nevertheless, here is the issue. Get off my back. Off to you. Allah Azza wa Jal is saying you cannot even pronounce such a word. Once the parents, when my parents are strong and I am still young like these kids, I need their mercy, I need their support, I need their care, so I run to hug them, to fall in their laps. Because I am the weak, they are the strong. But when I am grown up like this, I am the strong, they are the weak. Allah Azza wa Jal says, at the time of weakness, that's when they deserve your utmost attention. That's the time when they deserve your utmost attention. And it is not, and here is another an issue to remember. When I look after my kid, I'm pretty sure the mother or the father of this kid here, even when she wants to hush the kid a little bit, she will be a little bit in pain because it's her kid. She doesn't like anyone to grab the kid or put him there. It's instinct. The instinct goes from top down. It's my instinct to cry out when if somebody tells me now over the message, oh, your son in such and such a place has an accident. Probably I would just jump and leave this lecture and run before even I think about what I am doing. That's instinct. But the instinct doesn't go upward. The instinct does not go upward. We as humans, Allah Azza wa Jal did not install in us the instinct going up. Our instinct goes down. That's the instinct of kind. That's why we get married, so that we have kids. And we love our kids. But when it comes to the parents, Allah Azza wa Jal brought something more than the instinct, stronger than the instinct. He said, You have to be absolutely perfectionist to your parent. You have to. That is a social system no one can compete with. No one. No one in the world today. Not the capitalist, not the communist, not the socialist, not the nationalist, not the Hindus, not the Buddhist. No one can compete with this. No one can place the parenthood at the level where they are equate a little bit close to worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal. I worship Allah and I'm perfectionist to my parents. And when they are old, I cannot tell them a word that can disturb them. A man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and told him, Ya Rasulullah, my mother is old. My mother is old and she wants to go to Hajj. I carry her on my back and I go all the way from Medina to Mecca to give her Hajj. And I feed her and I clean on her. I do. Is that good enough for my mother? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled at him. He told him, I know where you are coming to. Because your mother, she nursed you when you were a baby, she carried you. So you think that you are paying her back. Not at all. Not at all. At the time when your mom, your mother carried you and nursed you and helped you and supported you, every time you cry, every time you ache, every time you have pain, she will suffer a lot so that she gives you life. She was hoping, expecting you to live. Every time you carry your mother on your back, you say, oh, okay, couple more hours, couple more days, and she's gone. She's old. You think that you are patient, you are caring, you are doing all of this, and expecting her next year not to be around. So she will be off your back. That's how you people are. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them, the way you look at your mother is not the way she looks at you. You have to do more. Never think it's enough. Never think it's enough. That is a deen. That is a social system. So we have to be proud of our social system, if not for anything else, for this one. For this relationship with parents, that is absolutely marvelous. It's not something we can hide, something we have to demonstrate and talk about. Also, Islam looked at the woman not only as a mother, of course she's a mother, she has to be respected as we said. He looked at her as a person with honor. Now of course everybody has honor, we have honor, men, but then the honor of a woman is beyond something that you can even imagine. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in one hadith he says, وَمَنْ مَاتَ دُونَ عِرْضِهِ فَهُوَ شَهِيدٌ. Al-ard means, is the woman's side of my relatives, my relations. My wife, my mother, my sister, my daughter, my cousin. All of this is my ard. So if I die fighting to protect the honor of my ard, then I am shaheed. How many women today, their honor are being violated? Think of Syria alone by itself. With all the refugees, with all of these, the Shabiha of Assad. Think of that alone. Think how many were violated in Iraq during the invasions. How many violated in Afghanistan? How many in all of these places? In Bosnia, the time when Bosnia was under attack. How many of those ard? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he ordered Muslims, men, to fight. There are many reasons for people to fight, but one of them is to protect the honor of a woman. So a woman in Islam is not something light. The view of Islam on a woman is a very absolutely cannot be compromised. Also, the issue of the sexuality. Islam does not look at a woman as a sexual object. Man is a sexual object because he delivers sex the same as woman. Why have woman alone? Look at woman as sexual object. Islam doesn't do that. And here comes the issue of the hijab and the cover. Because the hijab, when Islam says, I want the woman to have a hijab and cover her body when she goes out, except for the face and the hands. That alone by itself is telling the people, we do not deliver woman in the street as a sex object. When the woman goes outside in the street, she's a human. And you have to treat her and perceive her and look at her and deal with her as a human, period. Not as a naked woman who is for sale for sex. That is not allowed. So the whole issue of the dress of Islam, there are many other reasons, but this is by itself is saying that the ard or the honor of the woman is protected, and she will not be sold in the street. She will not be even if she has her own self, she wants to, we don't allow that. Because sometimes you have a weak nafs, you have a weak mentality, you have some temptations. We say no, the society outside is a big society. There are all types of men, all types of women, all types of people. We do not want the woman to be viewed or looked at as a sexual object outside. And as a wife, so it's as a mother, as a woman in general, as a wife, there is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam where it says, "Ma ahanahunna illa la'im, wa ma akramahunna illa kareem." Anyone who humiliates a woman is a wicked. If you insult, humiliate, put her under humiliation, that's a wicked person. And if you honor the woman and you put her in where she's supposed to be, her position by Allah Azza wa Jal, then that is kareem. That is someone who is honorable. Comes the marriage now. This is, so the woman, mother, a woman is a mother at some point. At some point she's a wife. Of course, at some time she's a sister and she's a daughter, and I will talk about that. But then, this whole issue of marriage, which today, the society we live in, has distorted the whole notion of marriage. The other day, one brother was telling me a story from his kid's school. So his kid is second grade. And he asked his father, how do children come and women become pregnant and have children? He says, they get married. He told him, they get married, there is marriage. Then he asked him the question, but our teacher, she's pregnant and she's not married. Our teacher, that's the kid, second grade. Means, oh, there is yet another way of getting pregnant. So the current system, the world we live in, has distorted this notion of and the coupling. Because Allah Azza wa Jal, when He created the world, He said, خَلَقَ الْأَزْوَاجَ كُلَّهَا. Allah created things in couples, in the plants, in the animals, in the trees, in the humans. Even in molecular structure, at the atom, there are coupling. This issue of coupling, Allah Azza wa Jal made it a law of the universe. One unique law, and He used that all over. All over, and you look at anything you want, you will find there is the couples. There are two sides of the same thing. And when it came to people, Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. Allah, part of His creation and signs which reveal His greatness and His power, the fact that He created us as azwaj, couples, not singles. Not singles who get pregnant anyway, irrespective of how. That's why I say the current societies with liberalism, with secularism, with all of these isms, they violate the very nature Allah Azza wa Jal created people with. Allah created people and then He said, I made you couples so that you live together as couples. لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. You have a zawj, you have a mate, you have a zawj. لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. So you live in tranquility. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً. And He created love among you. So the love, Allah Azza wa Jal created it. He could have created the coupling just like the plants or the trees. The trees and the plants, the pollinization of the palm trees, those who know the palm, they need pollinization. There is no love story between palm trees. There is pollinization, there is coupling. But Allah Azza wa Jal, He made this passion among the people so that they appreciate the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. So marriage in Islam, or in the social system that Allah Azza wa Jal created, is not only a mechanical thing. It's not something that people get together so they can share the rent, or they can share the cost. It is something that they create for rahmah, for mercy, for passion, for love, and for tranquility. That is the issue of marriage that Allah Azza wa Jal did. And in order to make sure that marriage is valid, Allah prohibited zina. Because if zina is allowed, which means you can expose of your instincts and your hormones through any means, then marriage will be violated. And that's what's happening in the Western society. Western society, because young men and women, they don't feel obliged to get into marriage, because part of the marriage relationship, which is the sexual relationship, can be exposed or can be used or abused in any way. Allah Azza wa Jal says, no, I cannot do that, or you cannot do that. I'm going to prohibit zina. وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا in an ayah, وَلَا don't even come close to zina. It's not that don't do it, don't even come close to it. وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. It's a fahisha. It's a fahisha. And you know what fahisha is. It's absolutely horrendous act. It is absolutely horrible act. It's not acceptable, الزِّنَا. And if you do it, you'll be punished. الزانية والزاني فاجلدوا كل واحد منهما مئة جلدة. If you commit zina, you have to be punished. And the punishment is severe. And if you are married, which means you have a wife, and the wife, she has a husband, so you have all what you want from a marriage, and you continue to do a zina, you are out of this world. You are out. Out. Not only lashes, you are out. Al-rajm. You are stoned to death. Get out from the world, do not disturb the society of the society. Marriage, therefore, marriage is the one and only one solution. You cannot have any relation between men and women outside marriage. And to make this, sometimes you would say, oh, how could we do that? Sometimes it becomes difficult. I am a young man and I cannot get married. I have all my hormones. I am kicking in. I am a teenager. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a hadith says, ثلاثة حق على الله عونهم. Allah vows, Allah, it's a haq upon Allah, it's a right upon Allah to help three categories of people. One of them, ناكح يريد العفاف. One of those categories is one person, a young man, who wants to get married so he can protect his honor and the honor of the woman. العفاف. And the other two, just for the curiosity, those who are curious, طالب العلم, the one who looks for knowledge and for ilm, and the third one, al-mujahidu fi sabilillah, the one who wants to go and fight in the cause of Allah Azza wa Jal. Those Allah Azza wa Jal says, I will help. And when we say, the hadith says, Allah will help, it doesn't mean that Allah Azza wa Jal will send an angel to someone and say, okay, let me guide you and make you married. It means it becomes obligation upon the Muslims who believe in Allah Azza wa Jal to provide that support. It's an obligation upon the Muslims, the community, through the zakah, or through the public property, or through the state. That's why Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiyallahu anhu, when the Baytul Mal had abundance of money, the things that he announced, he said, we have enough money, anyone who is poor who needs money, anyone who is hungry we will feed him, any young man looking for marriage we will get him married. From Baytul Mal. Because it's haqq upon Allah Azza wa Jal, therefore it's haqq upon us. So the marriage or this relation is protected by all means. Say, you must get married, you cannot have relation outside marriage. I cannot get married, you need help, I should help. The zakah money can go there, the state money can go there. The state, Islamic state, will never allow a young man to go wandering around looking for marriage. He cannot get married simply because he doesn't have home, doesn't have job, doesn't have a place. He will be supported. He needs the support. And in order to make this whole relationship, note that everything is geared in the social system to protect this relation between men and women and to gear it and steer it towards marriage. So zina is not allowed. Mixing and seclusion. Mixing men and women together in all types of like parties, dinners, all types of gatherings, that's not allowed. Because how is it that you are going to tell me don't do zina or go get married if I am living with all these young women and the women living with young men all together, then all of this can do the temptation so that people start divert their opinion or their minds from the relationship that brings them to the woman. You want a woman, you want to live with a woman, the woman wants a man, there is marriage. So the ikhtilat or the mixing, the illegal mixing is prohibited. You make boundaries between the so-called the communities of women and the communities of men. This is not against women. It could be against men, but it's not against either. Because sometimes some people say, oh, you are treating your woman badly. Well, it's not treating the woman badly. It is women, they have their community. The men, they have their community. So it's both ways. And then, of course, the seclusion. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, مَا خَلَى رَجُلٌ وَمْرَأَ إِلَّا كَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ ثَالِثَهُمَا. If two, a man and a woman alone, then expect the shaitan to be their third. Don't tell me, I am pious with taqwa, I am a Muslim, I am a scholar, therefore I can get the woman to be in my room and so we can talk to her about Islam. Don't do that. Because the shaitan is our third. And of course, think of the, I like to think of, not of the Muslims, I like to think of the church and the priesthood. Most of the violations, most of the violations and the abuse that happened and the people who have been convicted with abuse, with the sexual abuse, it's seclusion. When they get the priest or the cardinal, he gets the girl or the woman in his own private room in order to give her the blessings. And guess what type of blessing he gets? The court already knows what type of blessings these guys give. Now I know many people would like to address this issue of marrying more than women and then homosexuality. The multiple woman marriage. That in itself, when we say Allah Azza wa Jalla wanted the only relationship that could exist between men and women, sexual relationship and family type of relationship, has to be through marriage. It has to be through marriage. You cannot have anything outside marriage, even if that marriage will be multiple marriage, but not zina. Because multiple marriage, if you have a relationship, it has to be marriage. Why marriage? Because if there are babies or children, they have to be protected. They need their rights. If there is inheritance, if you die, somebody has to inherit. Now in this country, in these places, although they allow relationship outside marriage, but once one person has a relationship with more than one woman, whether it's marriage or non-marriage, once it comes to inheritance, only one can inherit. Only one, not two. So Islam wanted to control all of this relationship, so at the time when there is a need, there is necessity, there is a will, there is whatever the reason is for another relationship, it has to be controlled. So the control is the marriage. Anything besides marriage is not allowed, even if it goes to multiple women. And the other day I was giving this lecture in Detroit, and I made this interesting observation. Somebody asked about this issue, about the women's right or feminist movements against multiple marriage. Then I asked the person was a woman who asked the question. I said, who usually, tell me who is complaining? Because if there is an issue, then there must be a complaint. Who is complaining? Of course, it's woman complaining. Which woman? Okay, the woman who get into this relationship, because if a woman is in a single relationship with a husband, that's okay, she's not complaining. Those who complain, they are who are in the situation, okay. And then I said, take it off the record, and again, take this off the record. This is my own observation, to make the things a little bit not so dry. It's not really, it's interesting, thanks. So I said, look, when it comes to multiple marriage, the maximum there are four wives. So the first wife definitely doesn't like to have a second one, of course. They're granted. But the second wife doesn't get in unless there is a first one. That's why she's called second. So that one, the second one accepts it. And the third one accepts two before her. And the fourth one accepts three before her. So if you look at percentage-wise, statistics, you have 75% accepting approving from women who are in this situation. But that's not the reason why it's allowed. They just make this observation. The issue is multiple marriage, number one, it's a hukum shari'. It's Allah Azza wa Jal, He knows His creation, He knows the men, He knows the women, He knows the society, and that's the social system He created. So the marriage is the one and only one thing, one and only one relationship that could exist. And in this case, there needs to be more than one relationship, it has to be through marriage, and the marriage has to have all the rules of marriage, including the mahar, the dowry, the inheritance, and so on. Homosexuality, which is a diversion. I still have 1 hour to go. 1 minute? Few minutes, okay. I thought 1 hour, he's telling me one, that means 1 hour. Or saying ahad and ahad. Okay, so the issue of homosexuality, now look at, subhanallah, Europe is facing this issue of aging. They are dying nations. Germany, Switzerland, Belgium, in 50 years from now, probably they will no longer exist as a race. Because they don't get married. Or if they get married, they don't have children. And not only that now, if they think they will have, they need the sexual relationship, they do man-man, woman-woman. Which means they cut all the roads, they blocked all the roads for the marriage that Allah Azza wa Jal created. Islam does not approve homosexuality, it's haram, it's prohibited. You hear anyone talking anything like this, like anything not like this or against that, he is violating the rule of Allah Azza wa Jal. I heard the other day a person, they call him sometimes scholar, but he has nothing to do with the scholarly, he was trying to give excuses for homosexuality, saying, well, we understand that there are some natures of people who are homosexual. Allah Azza wa Jal does not create homosexuals. Allah created humans, not homosexuals, humans. Understand this, once and for all, Allah does not create homosexuals. Allah created humans. With humans there is instinct, one only instinct, the instinct of kind. We do not know of any instinct other than this instinct of sustaining the humankind, the human race. Allah does not create. Those are the creation of capitalism. Homosexuals are the creation of secularism. They are the creation of jahiliyyah. They are the creation of anything of the shaitan and of Iblis. Nothing more, nothing less. Anyone who will dwell on this issue other than that, let him face whatever he faces on the day of judgment. Not even our face. And then of course comes the other issues about lowering our gaze. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. That's part of the system. Because again, as I was mentioning, if you will punish me for zina, if Allah Azza wa Jal and Islam will punish me for zina, you better protect my environment. You better put me in an environment which is not prone for zina. If you put me in an environment where all women and men together, all the clothing, whatever they do, everybody looks wherever he wants, everybody has his own way of dealing with men or women, and then you tell me don't do zina, that doesn't work like that. So Islam came, the mixing of men and women is controlled. Seclusion is not allowed. If you look at a woman or the woman at a man, not only the both, men and women, lower your gaze. Don't keep staring at a woman because she is beautiful. All women are beautiful. All men are handsome. That doesn't mean, oh, this is a very beautiful woman, therefore I look. Every woman is beautiful. Don't do that. Because sometimes some people say, I cannot help it. You can help it. You have to help it. Because if you don't do that, it's haram. And then at the end of the day, you have the marriage, you have everything, then there is a divorce. The marriage may not work. It's true. Islam came to recognize that marriage may not work. If it doesn't work, then talaq comes as a solution. Talaq as a solution, not as a burden. In fact, there is an ayah in the Quran. It says, وَلَا تُمْسِكُوهُنَّ ضِرَارًا لِتَعْتَدُوا. Do not hold on women so that you cause harm on them. I'm not going to divorce you because if I divorce you, you will get your dowry. Don't do that. Because if I divorce you, you will take part of my wealth. That is her right. Divorce in Islam has not come as a problem, has come as a solution to a problem. Okay. I will finish with 2 points. Give me 2 points. عشاء اوكي ويل دو شان ويل دو ذا كيو اند دي افتر اوكي ذاتس فاين جست سو انتل اذان ذير ار تو ايشوز ويتش نو سوشيال سيستم هاز سي all social systems do have marriage and they have homosexuality stupid things but they have marriage all systems they have all religions all systems they may have certain dress code the dress code goes all the way from the private part covering all the way to the body but they call it dress code they have dress code stupid as could be but there is one but Islam has unique things Silatul Arham Silatul Arham means I have to maintain a relation not only with my parents and my children, but with the relatives that come through the womb of my mother or related, this is called Arham, the womb links relationship. My mother's side, my aunt, my uncle from my mother's side. These are my obligation to take care of them, to visit them, to give them gifts, and to make sure that I visit them. My cousin, woman, bint al-am, bint al-khal, all of these issues which are the so-called the relatives beyond my immediate relationship, and there are, you can talk about this, you can find the details about it, it's called al-rahim. Salatul rahim, in a hadith, whoever keeps connection with the rahim, Allah Azza wa Jal will connect him. If you disconnect, Allah Azza wa Jal will disconnect you. And there is a dua. Allahumma sil man wasalaha waqta' man qata'aha. Oh Allah, whoever makes salatul rahim valid, then give him the sila, give him the connection, support him, give him the blessings. If anyone disconnects from his rahim, then disconnect him, do not support him. Salatul rahim in Islam is absolutely important. And the last thing, which is, as I said, no one has this but Islam, al-nafaqah. Al-nafaqah, in the relationship, once I get married, or my father get married, I have my wife, I have my daughters, my children, my parents, and we have brothers and sisters. Brothers, sisters, daughters, parents, part of the family. Then there is the financial support. The financial support in Islam is not an option. Financial support in Islam is an obligation. Jazakumullah khair. And I will stop right here and the question and answer. Yes. Okay. We do the adhan. Okay, that's a good question. Number one, first part of it is, or the question is, how do we minimize the social illnesses upon Muslims who live in secular social systems, like in this country? Point number one, it goes without saying that if you live in a society or in a community, you will be impacted by it. The impact of society on individuals is very high. That's why we always say, for the Islamic systems to work, we must have Islamic societies and Islamic state, so that the Islamic state or system impacts individuals. Now it's a reversed issue. So we live in a non-Islamic systems, non-Islamic societies, so they do impact us. What do we do? Number one, as I answered the brother here, our piety, taqwa. We have to increase our taqwa and our awareness so at least we abide by our rules, by what Allah, because we have to please Allah Azza wa Jal. Number one. Number two, as communities, I think in the West here, until now we have not managed to build so-called community life for Muslims. We have masajid, we have centers, we have schools, but they are continue to be like artificial, not natural. By natural I mean where the kids, our kids and our women, our daughters, our children should naturally find places where they hang out with Muslims in Muslim environment, natural. Like fitness centers, like clubs, like places to eat. Not specialized restaurants where you go with all the families, but now the kids, they don't go always with families. They come from school, they do their homework, then they want to get out. They get out where? There are almost no places for our Muslim youth to be in. I think we have drastically failed in building natural community for the Muslims here. We have focused on masajid. We have done masajid more than enough. They are almost everywhere, and within 10 miles of where you live, you will always find a masjid. But within 5 miles or 10 miles or 15 or 20 miles, you don't have like a community center where people come and go naturally, freely, and they are Muslims who practice, at least the environment is Islamic. So I think that's something we have, some people have to look at and build it. But of course, the main guard and the protection is your awareness, your taqwa, your understanding of that you please Allah Azza wa Jal. Socialism, by the way, the word socialism means socialist economy. Islamic
socialism. No.
The answer to this, no. My elaboration, I think it's about the model of Islamic social system. The model of Islamic social system, which is the same as the model of economic system or political system, they exist within an Islamic state. Brother and brothers, for all the brothers and sisters, to be honest to us, to ourselves, the model, Islamic model of life, the Islamic model has ceased to exist officially and practically from the world, from the Muslim world. Forget about the West. I'm talking about Muslim world has ceased to exist officially in 1924 when the Khilafah was abolished. After that, since that time, Muslims have been living secular life. And the only things we have from Islam are either our ibadat or our own personal commitments to Islam. But the social system, whereas like in the Medina at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, when after Fajr prayer, when you see that the women are walking on their own and the men are walking on different streets, and then they would tell that only the time when they tell that this is the street where women are walking is when the Fajr comes out and the light comes out, so they start seeing some women dressed in long gowns. Oh, that is the path where women are. That is natural. That's natural Islamic life. Huh? So the Muslim way of life, the Islamic way of life, unfortunately has been compromised. As the Prophet ﷺ says in one hadith, تفصم عرى الإسلام عروة عروة أولها الصلاة وآخرها أولها الحكم وآخرها الصلاة. The buttons of Islam, it's like Islam like a shirt. He says those buttons will be unbuttoned one by one, which means you take off your shirt when you start unbuttoning. The first thing to go is the hukum, the ruling, and the last one is الصلاة. And in between الحكم and الصلاة, you lose الزكاة, you lose the social system, you lose the people living in good life, you lose all of this. So in order to bring this Islamic way of life, to resume it one more time, you need the Islamic state to come back. You need the Khalifa like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to come and take charge. You need Umar radiallahu anhu. You need Al-Faruq, you need Uthman, you need Ali. You need one like them to come back and bring this Khilafa and build the Islamic laws, and the constitution becomes part of Islam, then we will have the Islamic social system, then we will have the Islamic political system, then we will have the Islamic economic system, then we will have the moral values, then you will have someone like Umar radiallahu anhu. If he goes on the street and he finds that the yogurt or the milk is spoiled and someone is selling it, he will throw it in the garbage right away. He will not even leave it for individuals, because the corruption can go to all over. He himself, personally, he was walking in the markets. So you need someone. Yesterday, the other day, I was driving with a brother here, and every time he was driving, and his car comes into a hole, boom, and then something like breaks. I said, Subhanallah, if this was at the land of Umar, radiallahu anhu, Umar, he would say, I will be responsible. He will fix my car. Because he said, this is not, we will be talking about this, where is Brother Durrani? We'll be talking about this in the next lecture here about the political system. Because Umar said, if a goat stumbles and falls in the mountains, not on the street. Umar will be asked about it, will be responsible, because I will be asked, why did not Umar pave the road for the goat in the mountains? Paving the road for a goat in the mountain? Man, and here they are not paving the highways. You drive and then your car falls in and something breaks, and you have to go to Amin and pay $500 to fix your car. Where is Amin? Oh, he's still there. No, he will not charge that much. So the idea here is, this is what we need. We need, and this, the Islamic leader, the Khalifa, the Imam, who would come and rebuild those relationship. And if I say off to my father should pick up the phone and call the judge and say, my son just insulted me, and that judge will send me some couple of people, will handcuff me, and he will show me all types of things which I dislike. Not because I don't pay tax, but because I say off to my father. Here, you'll be dragged all over if you don't pay the couple of dollars taxes. But if you insult your father or mother, no one can say anything. It's his freedom. So that's what we need this to be coming back. Okay. Go ahead. Yes, here's one last question. Our elderly has the right. Go ahead, brother.
How can we overcome this paradoxical, not optical, how we can overcome?
How can we overcome this obstacle? Allow me to answer this question in the lecture that's coming up, which will be totally devoted to this subject, about the creation of the political system in Islam, which will be in charge of this, because it needs elaboration. I promise that this will be part of the lecture, and I will have several slides on this issue. But because it's involved, I understand the question is involved and needs elaboration, and inshallah, Allah will give us the life and the health so we can, and if I won't be here, Allah takes me, one of the brothers will continue. Inshallah. Go ahead.
I think there is no comparison between Islam and modern society or socialism. Because the way you mentioned it, Islam comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's true.
And the creation, it makes some rules. You cannot look beyond the wall. There's a limit.
That's true.
So there is no comparison. And the socialism, democratic system, everything based on three things. Sex, gambling, drinks, and which is all prohibited in Islam. Meaning, Creator does not allow all these things.
Yes.
So there is no comparison. I mean, what we need to talk about, you know, what system is better than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only the problem is we have, because on certain places, our own Muslims become progressive. The modernism, I think easily we can call modern Muslim is like a monopoly. Because we want to go something else, not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. So we have to be understand now, it's not from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's our personal desire, live. It might be tough, it might be cannot see right now, but we should think that way, then we look for the right path.
Jazakallah khair. And I will conclude this with the ayah, أَفَحُكْمَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ يَبْغُونَ وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حُكْمًا لِقَوْمٍ يُوقِنُونَ. Is it the rule of jahiliyyah that they want to follow? And who is better than Allah's rule? Jazakallah khair. Okay.
My question is one more thing.
Okay.
Everybody knows everything. Islam says Allah may like it. The answer is virtuous. But we are not recognizing it. What's the problem?
Well, again, this is going to the question which the other brother raised. It is our duty, our obligation as a Muslim. I have to understand what does it mean that I am a Muslim. I am a Muslim means I follow the rules of Allah Azza wa Jal. If I know the rule, I have to abide by it. If I don't know, I have to ask. But as you mentioned, the majority of us know the rules. And for some reason we started going down, compromising this issue of abiding by the rules of Allah Azza wa Jal. We have to strengthen our Iman, our taqwa, our relation with Allah Azza wa Jal, so that we can at least practice what we know. And as you mentioned, after this lecture or so many lectures, we cannot hide behind ignorance. We cannot claim that we don't know. Muslims do know. But sometimes it's the fear, it's the compromise, it's the unwillingness. All of these issues we have to fight in ourselves so that we can live better life. Yes. Time. Go ahead. What's our time limit? Yes, go ahead, brother. Yes. Okay. Well, it's both ways. Number one, you have to... the question is when the current secular societies, they attack the way Islam treats women or the way Muslims treat women, there are several issues. Number one is the plight of the woman in the West herself. Is she doing any well? Look at the statistics on rape, statistics on sexual harassment, sexual assault. Look at the statistics on the wages, money they pay them, underpaid. There are all types of things which we can point out. Number one. Number two, as far as the Muslim woman today, in Muslim societies, we have to understand that the Muslim societies, they do not practice Islam. The Muslim societies do not practice Islam. So the oppression that happens on the woman happens on the man as well, but in different ways or forms. So there are all of this, the current oppressive nature and oppressive things that happen to women or men, they are byproducts of the oppressive societies in the Muslim world. Okay? Because you are telling me that at the time of Gaddafi was practicing Islam, or the government of Turkey is practicing Islam, or the government of Pakistan is practicing Islam? Of course not. So all of these are not. So the Muslim women who come under the attack or being their rights being violated, this is a byproduct of the systems. Number three, when it comes to Islam, we look at the Islam, we have just looked at the ayat and the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We look at the core religion. Core religion in Islam, you cannot beat it. It's absolutely perfect. Whether it's inheritance, whether it's the protection, whether it's the motherhood, whether it's the wife, all of this. The last thing, when you look at the practice, when Islam was practiced, 1300 years of testimony. So Islam is not in the lab. Islam did exist as a complete practice for 1300 years, and we have archives, we have documents, we have statistics, we have all types of information that shows the plight of women in Islam was way beyond anyone even can imagine. Whether be it the amount of scholars who were women scholars who used to sit and teach Muslims, whether it's in the amount of Muslim women who were contributing to the society, all of this is, whether it's the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have lots and lots of examples. So as the brother was saying, there is no comparison. But at the end of the day, you have... Yes, I think. Go ahead.
So a lot of times, depending on the Muslim woman, that what the Islam says about the women, both women and all those things, talk about this. But in reality, when people are talking about Muslim women now, they talk about how Muslim women are depressed into men. Isn't that also the result of the system?
Yes. Of course.
So rather than to defend the Muslim woman like this, it's actually the
That's true. It's the whole oppression that happens against women or men in the Muslim land is byproduct and the result of the application of oppressive regimes and rules upon all. And those are the byproduct of capitalism, socialism, democracy, pro-America, pro-Britain, pro-France, pro-all of these things. That's the result. And I remember, I will conclude with this example because we have to let the brothers go here from this masjid. I was on an NPR interview with a journalist on the issue of women in veil. The woman, this journalist, she talked about, she visited Afghanistan and Pakistan, and she came with all types of reports about abuse. And she wanted to prove that it's in the Quran. Now she can bring testimonies, which is, you cannot argue with her, but when she started looking at ayat and the Quran does not support what she says. But then the point here is, one person made a call, and he was telling me, say, oh, you are telling me that Islam does not call for oppressing women. Yeah, of course. He says, I have a neighbor, he's talking from, I think, Decatur, Illinois, somewhere here. He said, I have a neighbor who is a Muslim, who I hear him, I know that he's abusing his wife. I said, look, I'm pretty sure that he learned the bad habits of his neighbors. Because if he was sticking to Islam, to the knowledge of Islam, he would not do that. If he was taking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as his guide, he would not do that. But looks like he learned the habit of his neighbor. And which is true. If you look at the statistics in this country, they are amazing. There is one woman battered here every 2 seconds. Every 2 seconds there is one woman who is battered. Battered means she's slapped, she's hit, her bone is broken. Every 2 seconds. And you can count how many seconds in a year and then count how many number of women battered. This is not, it's not sporadic, it's not abnormal. It's the norm. جزاكم الله خير. We'd like to stop right here, brother. اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدنيا والدين والدنيا والآخرة. اللهم علمنا ما جهلنا يا رب العالمين وانفعنا بما علمتنا. اللهم اجعل هذا العلم حجة لنا ولا حجة علينا، إنك أنت العزيز الحكيم، إنك أرحم الراحمين. وصل اللهم على محمد وعلى آل محمد خير معلم للبشر يا رب العالمين. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. جزاكم الله خير.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com.